Welcome to the Next Best Podcast with your hosts, Chris Cashman.
24 years old, a former sheet metal worker, Mr. America and twice Mr. Universe.
And Chris Daniels.
Time Magazine even named him Person of the Century.
Now, from the CNC Podcast Factory, here's the Next Best Podcast.
Well, that's right. Here we are again. Chris Cashman, Chris Daniels joining me from the Basketball Advisory Committee. I've assigned you to that, Chris. Boy, where do we even begin this week as we continue to focus on the Sonics Arena? Well, it was a saga, then a debacle, and now it's just a choose-your-own-adventure book,
Chris. Well, especially this week, in terms of this story and this story's placement in recent history, I don't know if there's been a busier week than this past week, a development almost every day.
And some of it was foreseen, some of it unforeseen, and it all started about a week ago. Let's try to go in order if we can. It was Sunday when the two competing offers for Key Arena, the two competing bids, took a strange fork in the road.
Well, strange in that you don't normally have a Sunday afternoon press release on something about a major infrastructure project, which this is, Key Arena, Seattle Center. For AEG to come out, and really it was AEG, and AEG teamed with Hudson Pacific Properties to form Seattle Partners, but AEG drops a letter at 3 o'clock in the afternoon saying, we're dropping out, and this whole process has been flawed. We're taking our ball and going home.
Right.
And the subtext to it all is fascinating, the fact AEG currently has multiple contracts with the city, helps run Key Arena. They almost are a double loser in all of this,
right.
and cast shade on the entire process of renovating Key Arena.
It's hard not to read into it a number of ways. From the media standpoint, you know, you and I work in television. We know that when you want to bury something, it's usually sent to you on a Friday.
Yep.
Or over the weekend. In other words, when people feel like they need to put out some official information on something, they know that if they send it to you at strategic times, it's not going to get as much airplay. So sending it out on a Sunday certainly seems like they were hoping they could kind of sweep it under the carpet. And of course, people would talk about it, but the media wasn't going to be knocking at the front door on a Sunday saying, give us answers. Why are you doing this? Why now? What do you read into it?
Well, I think they were trying to get out ahead of the story. And often you see this with, like, coaching searches.
Yeah.
It seems like in football where somebody interviews for a job and then they know they're not going to get the job and they then suddenly withdraw their name from consideration.
Yeah.
They knew it was coming. They knew that the Oakview Group was going to be selected as the winning bidder in all of this and basically, again, took their ball and went home and tried to get out in front of the story and fire the city before they could fire them.
I was going to say, this is exactly the scenario of, oh, you can't fire me because I quit.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't break up with me. I just broke up with you.
Yeah.
I saw this coming. So that happened on Sunday, put a strange twist into things. And by Monday, we all knew that the mayor was going to speak about this and that they had made their selection.
And Ed Murray sat down with me for an exclusive television interview, and he basically acknowledged that before that AEG letter came out, that he had already made his decision.
On Friday afternoon, I decided to go with the Oakview Group for the new arena at Seattle Center.
Why is that?
Two real main reasons. One is the Oakview Group really is building an entire new arena under the current roof. They're going to go down 15 feet, dig 15 feet lower to get the capacity they need. It's not just a remodel, but a completely new arena. Secondly, there was no public financing. There was no bonding involved in it. The other proposal had about $250 million in city bonds. So those were the two drivers. Both proposals had good points, and both proposals had some challenging points. And now we'll enter with the Oakview Group in negotiating how to work out some of the issues that we're concerned about, such as transportation, making sure it integrates with the Seattle Center and integrates into the neighborhood.
So that's just a portion of your conversation with Mayor Ed Murray. If people want to see a lot of this, nobody covers it like you do. King5.com, you've got everything that has transpired, but we're trying to boil it down here for the podcast version for those of you cruising home from work or you're going to get your hair cut or whatever, and you don't have time to make sense of it all. That was a part of your conversation, and that is, to me, but talking about traffic seems to be one of the biggest issues, is people saying, look, I don't care which of these two groups, that's irrelevant to me as a fan. It's how are we getting in or out of there? And to say we need to address traffic concerns seems like a bit of lip service, because in my mind, as a lifetime resident of the area, and I've seen what's transpired over the past 10 years in downtown Seattle, bringing in Amazon and Expedia and all of these massive companies and Facebook, and then now Paul Allen's got a building right there. There's no way around it. That area is a giant bottleneck. There is no such thing as transportation solutions, unless we're talking about bringing in blimps. Are we going to get Bezos involved and bring in these drones and blimps? Because otherwise, I don't know that there is such a thing.
Well, and the mayor talked about in that same interview about believing that South Lake Union is an urbanist location now, where people can walk from Amazon or Expedia in the future and walk to the games. But
maybe that's true.
Maybe that's true, and maybe there's a different vision for this arena. It has happened in other cities. Portland in particular has a Providence Park, the soccer stadium, without a lot of parking nearby, and not a lot of mass transportation. But I should say that this is the soft spot in the Key Arena proposal. Tim Leiwicki knows it. He talked about it as they made the big kickoff at Key Arena on Wednesday.
This, to me, is the most iconic, most visionary, and the greatest opportunity I have ever been involved with, and we could not be more excited. So to the mayor, we read all of the media talking about you gave lots of money away, or you're subsidizing us, and I keep on looking at the agreement trying to find that. I can't find that. We congratulate the mayor on a good, tough process. I assure you that the commitments we've made, we will fulfill. We made a commitment not to use bond money. We made a commitment to come in and use our own resources to build this privately. We have some upside participation, but everything else is on our risk. We'll operate it on our risk. We will put the capital in on our risk.
I mean, he is a salesman, Chris. He knows how to sell it. He had a lot of dignitaries there,
sure.
Members of the Seattle Sounders, the Seahawks, the Mariners, all represented there, NHL owners. He had big music industry veterans. And when he got down with the media and started talking about some of the nuances with the project and where he goes from here, he was asked specifically about transportation.
Traffic is not a Key Arena problem. Traffic is a Seattle problem. You all act like there's no traffic everywhere. Every place I go in Seattle, there's traffic. People with a notion that at the end of the day, you're going to build a brand new arena next to the baseball stadium, football stadium, and soccer stadium and have three conflicts, you're wrong. It's 50, and we've done the math. And we know this business better than anybody.
So that's a little bit of the sound with Leiwicki. And again, you've got all of this at king5.com if people want to see and hear more of it. But we're finally getting to that point, and again, the Key Arena side of things starts to feel a bit more like a political campaign. You've got all these dignitaries involved, and as you said, representatives from the Mariners, and now the Seahawks are there, and that's getting a little bit sticky because the Soto Group, of course, has Russell Wilson attached, and we're going to hear from Russ in just a couple minutes, too. But it's starting to feel a bit political. They're starting to cross the company lines a little bit, and it sure seems like there's an attempt to poke some holes in the competing proposals, and it seems like the first time that you're hearing from them saying, hey, look, Soto, they're going to have traffic too. They don't have it all figured out either, but it doesn't seem like apples and apples here. It really does seem like two vastly different scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious there that Tim Leiwicki was talking about Soto and
right.
the potential for three stadiums and traffic in that area too, but I think you look at this, and a lot of people do, as this is one of the last big projects that Seattle Mayor Ed Murray will be a part of. The question is whether he has council support. So I think a lot of people are lost in the fact that this gets handed off now to the council to negotiate terms, including financing, including transportation. We had a chance on Thursday to talk with Council President Bruce Harrell about where we go from here. And keep in mind that he is a guy who played football at the University of Washington, big sports nut, big supporter of the Soto Arena, and he had some interesting things to say about this proposal now, Key Arena.
Well, I'm excited. I think that the proposal for Key Arena has come together quite well. I think that it's part of a vision that we can really activate. The problems are going to be significant, but I think we can overcome them, such as traffic mitigation and those kinds of things. But I have to tell you, Chris, that you know we still have the Soto proposal on the table, and we're still that is not off the table. And so I think our job as a city council will be to evaluate these different proposals moving forward.
To talk about Key Arena first, it obviously goes before your committee, which is essentially the full city council first, correct?
Correct. We have a special committee, a select committee that involves all council members. Too big of a project just to do it by a small committee, so Councilmember Juarez and I will co-chair that, and we'll have a public and transparent hearing on these issues.
Have you dug down yet on the financing and transportation?
Well, that is the process now where we will actually negotiate it with Oakview Group. And what we're likely to do as a council is develop a resolution to talk about all the bullet points in the memorandum of understanding that we want to see. And of course, transportation is going to be at the top of that list. The use of local contractors and women and minority contractors and hiring local people is going to be also on that list. And you'll look at the community benefits that we need and protecting the public. I mean, the public has made it clear, and we've made it clear, that we don't want to see a public subsidy of this kind of arrangement. So all of those will be in the memorandum of understanding. And if I could say that one thing that happened in the past that I think was short-sighted was for the executive simply to negotiate something sort of on their own and then bring it to the council, and then we had to retweak the deal. So at this point, we're going to do it the right way, which is to have a joint conversation sent to the executive and the negotiating parties what we want, and then we can have a good deal.
Should they spend money on transportation mitigation around Key Arena?
Yes. I believe that should be part of the obligation when you receive the benefits of an urban park-like setting in the prime area of our city, that you also have an obligation to help us with traffic mitigation. That's not all their responsibility. We have a joint responsibility. And so whether the parking garage will suffice, whether all of the available private parking around can be coordinated, looking at investments in the monorail, these are joint obligations, but certainly the investment group should have some skin in the game.
So Harold is clearly excited about Key Arena. We talked some more about Soto. He did not say it's dead. He acknowledged he was a supporter there, that the street vacation vote could still come up later on this year. So he did not want to write off the Soto Arena proposal. Of course, the city, as you know, still has technically an agreement with Chris Hansen until December of this year. Murray said that he wanted to have a deal after December 4th. I mean, I think everybody involved knows there is a deal on the table.
And in case anybody thinks, by the way, that this is so far a one-sided version of the podcast, we're going in order here. We're going to hear from Chris Hansen and from Russell Wilson here in just a moment. We're definitely, as we are just downwind from the site of the proposed Soto project, believe me, we're going to give them fair attention too, because not just from proximity, I think all along, at least from my standpoint, I felt very strongly that it's an obvious and viable option. So we're going to give them equal time here as well. We're just sort of going in order as this week is unfolding.
Because there's been so much.
It's been so crazy and theatrical, and the hurry up and wait game is really ramping up here.
Well, and here's one of the things that happened this week is that everybody acknowledged, I know, Chris, that you are waiting patiently or not so patiently for the Sonics to return.
Yeah.
With the Key Arena proposal and with Tim Leiwicki, nobody is talking about the Sonics coming here tomorrow or next year or the year after that.
Right.
They're fully acknowledging the NBA is still years away, and it's all about the NHL. And so one of the things that really stood out at this announcement about Key Arena is there were two NHL executives there. One is a business partner, acknowledged by Tim Leiwicki and Peter Lukko, who runs the Florida Panthers of the National Hockey League. But what was a bit of a surprise is to see Francesco Aquilini, who is the owner of the Vancouver Canucks, just up across the border. They referenced him several times as he stood there on a warm day outside Key Arena for coming down from Vancouver to show his support for this particular project. And I had a couple of minutes to talk to him, not only about Key Arena, but expansion and an expansion timeline and how Seattle fits into all that.
This is great. This is fantastic. I think what they're doing here today is amazing. I think it's long overdue. And I think Seattle is a great market. And, you know, for the Canucks, I think that, you know, having a sports team in Seattle, there's a lot of synergies, a lot of the fans will go back and forth. be a great rivalry, another team, because the Canucks travel the most of any team in the league, so it'd be nice to have a team closer. So there's lots of benefits, and we're really pleased about this today.
I know it's been talked about for a while about an arena in Seattle. Is this the project that you would support?
I would, absolutely. I think this makes total sense. I mean, this is something that the community needs. It seems like, you know, the mayor and the council think this is the best place to be, and I support that 100%.
As far as Mr. Bonderman and Mr. Bruckheimer, are they potential good NHL owners?
I don't know them personally, but from what I'm told, that I think they would be great NHL owners.
And do you think the NHL is in a position to expand one more?
I think so. There's 15 teams in the West and 16 teams in the East, so it makes total sense to have one more team in the West. And if there's a new arena here, and you know it is what it's supposed to be, then I think the owners and the commissioner would be very open to looking at a team here. I would definitely support it.
With a new project here, would it immediately put Seattle to the front of the list for a potential expansion franchise?
Personally, I believe that. I mean, again, it's up to the owners, the executive committee, and the commissioners, but I think it should be.
So obviously, Chris, a ringing endorsement there, and it would get you excited as a hockey fan. But again, we're talking about hockey fans, hockey specifically here. I personally am just leery of the whole thing because I'm concerned that they're, I don't want to say a bait and switch. That's probably too much of a fine point on this. But it does seem to be almost a distraction effort to say, hey, look, we get an arena, we dig down, we build it out, we bring it in. Look, these guys... hockey's showing support. They got love. Would it make a lot of sense to have a hockey team in Seattle, a rival with the Canucks? Yes, that would be a blast. I could see going back and forth at the Rogers Arena. That would be a kick. But the NBA has suddenly become this footnote. It's more of an asterisk, see dealer for details on approval of credit, not available in all areas. It's kind of one of those situations where it's not at all guaranteed. It's not necessarily even a part of the plan. It's possible. And I'm afraid that this is kind of one of those used car lot efforts where you went in there to get the nice model, and they don't, you know what, we don't have that one, but we got one lower over here, and this has got rims on it. Take a look over here. We could get you into this one today. I'm afraid that we're going to get so excited that a decision will be made, that a proposal has been chosen. We're moving forward. Shovels are going to finally go in the ground, but that it may not be... you know, headed towards where everybody hopes it's going, which this all started with, bring back the Sonics. It took a turn when these key arena proposals came up, and now I'm afraid that we're at this stalemate where it's either going to be key arena or it's going to be Soto. But only one of those has made it abundantly clear that it is NBA first and foremost, and almost exclusively. NHL, that'd be great for Soto. But Chris Hansen has made it very clear. It's about basketball, the Sonics. That is his priority. So if people have skin in the game in terms of what they want out of this, it seems like that's really the only logical choice. Clearly the city has skin in the game for Key Arena, you know, historical and the roof line. And of course they want to protect Seattle Center. Of course you want to make it viable and relevant again. And I just don't like that it's suddenly become a choice, because I see them almost as two separate entities. That let's put hoops in here in Soto. Hansen's got the land. He's got, you know, he's got the support. Key Arena, let's do that too. This is a big city. Let's make that. Let's build it out. Let's do, you know, use it for concerts and venues and all that. I just hate that it's suddenly become a choice, because I don't think things are equal.
Well, right now they're not equal because the city is talking about protecting their city asset. And yeah. I think one thing that Lywicki has done out of the gate is the sizzle of it all. The idea that he has, I mean, it is not lost on anyone. He had Peter McLaughlin from the Seahawks, Adrian Hanauer from the Sounders, representatives from the Mariners, the music community, the local music community, the King County Labor Council. He had all those things lined up, and then on top of that announces Jerry Bruckheimer and David Bonderman, a UW grad who is a billionaire, and both of them have wanted to be hockey owners. He had all that lined up for his announcement. You always want to win the press conference. Chris Hansen and his camp have not been able to secure a team to say, look at these big name investors that we have. Look at this team. If that was to change, then I think it would be the overused term of being a game changer. But right now, I mean, the deck looks stacked against Soto. And the fact that the NBA is talking so distant in the future about expansion doesn't help him either. And, you know, the thing about the Key Arena proposal is everybody involved is not saying is saying that the NBA is not coming anytime soon, too. So, you know, there are a lot of strikes against Chris right now in his effort to do something in SoTo. But he, you know, to his credit, came out after all this big announcement and talked about the status of his project.
Last I checked, we're still waiting for a street vacation. So, you
but
know.
But you are, in fact, still before the city council on that very matter.
We
right?
are. Yes. So there's, you know, the Seattle process is a long one. I think.
Famous.
Yeah. There's a lot of details they're going to have to walk through with their plan. You know, we voiced some of those on our site. And really, I think, you know, our job here is just to be patient. We own all of our land. We think the city approving our arena, we welcome them to go ahead and try. We've always said that, you know, the city is entitled to do what they want with Key Arena. They should explore all their best options. And, you know, we're fine if this ends up being a two-arena market. We're also fine if they actually get it done and they build a world-class arena and it can host the NBA and NHL, you know, of course that would be a great outcome for Seattle. I think our job here is to just sit back, be patient, see how things transpire over the next few months, encourage the city council to approve our plan. I don't think there's anything wrong with a little competition. And, you know, they have a very long process in front of them, obviously. If our fortunes or history is a testament to anything, it's that it takes longer and probably costs more than you think it's going to. So, you know, I think the thing you'll hear for us is resolute commitment to stay the course and make sure we do everything we can to get basketball and the NHL back to Seattle.
I will say for Chris Hansen's point, he's always been very even-keeled, never trash-talked, never pointed fingers, and said, you know, other than when they came out with their little checklist of us versus them, which I thought was a very practical guide. but he's always really kind of stayed the same demeanor, the same tone. He hasn't lost his patience, even when I've been afraid all along that that's what would happen, that at some point he would just say, forget it, I'm leaving, guys, tried to help you, tried to bring him back, bye. Because he doesn't even live here anymore. You know, this is somebody who's made it quite clear that he wants to bring the Sonics, which he watched, and he wants to bring his children to watch those games. You know, so it's interesting to hear him still staying cool and level-headed about it. And I saw some of the tweets from the event, and you were there. You know, on the Key Arena side of things, they've got Jerry Bruckheimer now from executive producer Jerry Bruckheimer. We both agreed that it was a pretty interesting move when Hansen brought Russell Wilson on board. To have an ambassador like Russell on board gives you that star power that you need to get some of the Fairweather fans to perk up and go, wait, what? Russell's involved in this?
Yeah, the sizzle factor of it all, like I was talking about. And by the way, thanks to City Club and the Seattle Channel, that was Civic Cocktail, where both Chris Hansen, Wally Walker, and Russell Wilson all appeared. That had long been scheduled. And it just
That's
so
an interesting thing to point out, by the way. This is not coincidental timing. That was on the calendar. That was the evening they were going to get together to talk and to, you know, to lay out where they're at. So all of this unfolded, fortunately or unfortunately, in the few days leading up to this event. The timing was very dramatic. Maybe that was Jerry Bruckheimer.
Maybe it was Jerry Bruckheimer. Maybe.
Let's get Probst involved.
Well, I think Jerry Bruckheimer, maybe. I mean, blowing up the SoTo Arena proposal, huh?
But you were there at the event, Civic Cocktail, and of course, Russell Wilson showed up and did what Russell does. He closes, he finished it out.
I definitely think we're still alive, and I think that, you know, we like close games. we like winning close games.
So that's technically the very latest we've heard from both sides. Certainly the momentum swing seems to be on the side of Key Arena when the whole city's getting involved. Now the NHL and actual owners and people are coming out saying, great, yep, this is happening. It's hard to not sort of start to assume that the Key Arena side of things has all of the momentum. Things are swinging that way. But I do like that Chris Hansen, Russell Wilson have the same poker face, the same attitude. They were even asked, are you going to sue? Because you're in a contract with the city, and now the city's over here doing a big celebration and cutting a ribbon and holding a press conference saying, we're back, Key Arena's back. And I like that Hansen said, no,
well,
we're good.
And speaking of poker, perhaps there's still a few more cards left to be played.
Ooh. I hope Bruckheimer heard that. If you guys want to keep up to date, run over to king5.com. You can see all the great work Chris has been doing on this. Chris, I'm sure things have changed since we've been in here recording today, so get back out there.
10-4.
On Twitter and Instagram, at NextBestPod. This is the exclusive ending of the Next Best Podcast.